if a male, I mean, I don't want to point out any group of people, but let's say the typical Caucasian males, they definitely very, how to say, like, represent the image of being very assertive and confident. And if you think about someone act like that, you will be like, that makes sense. You know, you wouldn't, at least wouldn't, maybe you will doubt if he is as good as he think, but most likely you will have more of like the positive feeling of this person sounds like, you know, he has this attitude, or you don't think about anything else. But if there's a person, let's say a female, or probably somebody from the Confucius culture, like Chinese, or will be like, okay, if you act like this, I kind of feel like you're a little too much. Like, if I think this woman, you know, you think about the image of like, okay, there's a lady, she's cute, she's, okay, I like her. And it's just like, I really deserve this. I need this money because I'm so good at it. And you'd be like, a little disliking feeling. Would you have that, or is just...
No, I mean,
it's like image.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's like the societal, like... roles that people have and like expectations that people have that like, oh, this tall white guy
is fighting for himself.
Yeah, is like advocating for himself, like that's what he does, like good for him. And then you see like someone, like a woman doing the same exact thing, and it, like, for a lot of people, they see that as being like uncharacteristic or off-putting or like overbearing. And That's purely just patriarchy, right? Like that, like just the idea that like men are supposed to be in these like assertive, dominant, executive roles where they get to yell and be aggressive and advocate for the things that they want, like regardless of anyone else. And that's just not the case for women. Like that's definitely that's absolutely a thing.
While we're talking about this, although those are the research that we kind of interpreted from the research to the very down-to-earth image, talking about the backlash that female face. But if you think about some people, let's say for males, some people are very masculine. They're so good at the body shape. And somebody who considered not really in the ideal body shape, or they're a little bit, let's say, chubby or something. And then people will be like, okay, I definitely think the person who is more masculine physically, you know, matches the confident image. Not everyone, but I would really heard a lot of people say that. And or for teenagers, whoever, you know, this person is like kind of bully and then this tall and looked more mature physically. And then if they act like that, people think, okay, it makes sense. And I kind of make me feel this person is more powerful. However, if for some students or kids or teenagers, if they look relatively small, right? And if they act that way, people probably like have like even more dislike feeling towards them, and that what we would call backlash is that if they use the same strategy as what the majority of people, the males, who use to be confident and normally helpful and make sense and successfully achieve the image what they wanted to put into others' mind, and if we adopt that for females, for people who are underrepresented, and then we normally they will actually have the double bind situation where like, oh my god, people actually like you less. And then you don't get that opportunity, you lose that opportunity actually.
No, for sure. I mean, is that because you spoke earlier about like how you feel like you've done a good job of like pushing for the things you want generally, but was that like a journey for you, like to get to that point?
So after, you know, like very recently, like actually too very recently, I understand the world more, I understand myself more, I start to realize maybe that is one of the reason why I got isolated when I was a kid. But I totally didn't realize that, because I've been always like this, I think. And I would describe myself when I was younger, I would describe myself that my personality is more like a boy, like a tomboy, or I'm more like a male personality or like a man, right? And yeah, like that's how I see myself, but I don't look as, you know, masculine or like a male.
Right.
So, yeah.
Was it more so like that you were associating like the sort of confidence and self-assurance and kind of like personality you had as being like more like a, more similar to that of like the boys you were around?
Yeah, like I think that is the society how define the boys and girls. So even I describe my own personality, I would say I'm more like a boy's personality, right? I would say I'm more like a boy, although I don't look like it. So that actually also can get me isolated, because thinking about all other girls or most of the other girls are very nice and gentle. I'm like very rationally just talk about this thing. I would be like, you know, act like less empathetic if somebody made a mistake, and I will actually point it out and not thinking too much of how I look in front of others to by directly blaming this person making these mistakes then cause loss to the group. I remember when I was in the primary school, and primary school where there has like this running competition where it doesn't really matter for kids, of course, if you lose. But then I was very, it's not for individual competition, it's for like different kind of groups, right? So you have groups and then you have this stick and then you pass with another person and another person go and then back and forth and see who wins. So one of my actually closest friends, she lost that stick. And then you can imagine where you go and pick it up and then go back and then go to another side while other teams are already so in front of you. So after that, I was like, how could you possibly do that? You know, that's just gonna, you know, I basically just blamed her, pointed out immediately, and not like behind others. It's just literally just like in front of others. And I don't think I insulted her, but I literally say, this is a mistake that's very stupid, and that's
right,
like,
right, okay.
Yeah, and I care so much about, you know, the group benefits. That's literally what I thought. But the other girls, because back then the girls would play with other girls when, you know, after this group activities and then we have some free time, and boys would play for boys for like basketball, whatever. And it's another thing. Like if you're boys and you don't play basketball and then you wanted to play hide and seek or whatever for with other girls, you would also have some kind of hard time. But let's say I would just play with other girls and the other girls would be like, oh, you're being so mean, and you know, like they just kind of. I got like penalties from others. Like I got punishment where they don't want to play with me and they blame me, and I totally didn't get it because I was like, I thought I did this, and I did other things like when I was just doing the activity and running, and I also was the run like member of the running team, so of course I also cared. But then I thought I did all this would help with the winning for our team. So I thought they would appreciate it. Or I didn't at least think that they would blame me on it.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so I got super confused, and I also thought this is what I say is right. You know, I would just point out the fact and say, how should you avoid this for the next time? And then also, my friend, this didn't really affect our friendship, but I really appreciate her. She was very understandable, but she cried at the time, so everybody thought I was a monster.
How old were you at the time?
Probably age 10 or age 9,
I mean, like, who isn't crying at that age? Like,
well, I wouldn't, because I would be like, you know, if I mean, maybe, but like, I just don't understand it. I think one thing is that how my dad, he would, you know, when I did something right and he blamed me or hit me, like, as a kid, right? like with the proper process, which he has a proper process to get me punished by the mistake that I made.
Right.
And he doesn't allow me to cry, which doesn't also make sense. But thinking about if they hit your like hand, you're actually in pain as a kid, you're not allowed to cry. That's kind of probably what I thought. It's like you made a mistake, you did something wrong, and how are you qualified to cry? But then that's not definitely the right mindset. But yeah, like what I'm trying to say is that I think if what I did and how I process my thoughts in like towards to this issue or this event or being very rationally disappointed at a thing and less empathetic, if I'm a boy, actually I will not or less likely to get punished by others.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like that kind of behavior is a lot more like tolerated and even like rewarded sometimes.
Yeah, rewarded,
like, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be like, you're the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, exactly. And like, I mean, it's the way you're describing it, I feel like I almost had like an opposite childhood.
Yes.
Where like, I cried all the time as
yeah.
a kid. Like, I was extremely sensitive. I mean, I would still say I'm like a sensitive person, but like also an adult now. But... like, yeah, like as a kid, I remember like and you know, like I would get anything essentially that made me sad, like would make me cry as a kid. And like, even now as an adult, I do think there is like a shame around it that like you do feel like you that like, oh, you're not supposed to do this, or like, oh, like why am I, you know, like this is sort of reinforcing this idea of myself that like I'm like weaker or not living up to this like ideal masculine identity where I should be like asserting myself and like brushing things off and being fine. And it's honestly like a very recent thing where I feel like I've come to the terms with the idea that like, yeah, you can cry and that's fine.
Yeah.
And like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I feel like, cause when you're, you know, as an adult, you can think more critically about it now, right? Like you're thinking about that time that you told your friend that thing and you're thinking like, oh, well, like, you know, my personality is one is like that is competitive and that wants like things to be a certain way. But like, maybe I didn't need to like go about it in that specific
yeah.
way. Whereas like as a kid, like you're essentially like, you're not thinking about that, right? You're
yeah.
just, you're just essentially acting in a way that you think is going to like,
helpful. That's how
yeah.
I feel, because it's very interesting because for me, when I point out this thing, I don't think she is something worse.
Yeah.
Or somebody worse. So it's not like, and after that, we still hang out. And actually, she came to me and talked about how other people are talking bad things about me behind when
wow.
I hang out. So
okay.
I was the one who got isolated. But then I wasn't really, I think I wasn't, instead of being so... I guess I was too not sensitive, because I was not feeling, oh my God, this is, I'm so sad, I should have not done this, and those people are just like not playing with me, so I'm lonely right now.
Mm.
Instead, I think I was like kind of mad and confused. I was like, this thing doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's better to just hang out by myself. So
yeah. Are you still friends with this person?
Yeah, like we grew up. Actually, you know, one of the things that she was the closest one is that it's very interesting is that normally people don't play with her.
Mm.
Normally other people, either they laugh at her or so she's kind of like get bullied.
Right.
But I was a normal person. I was not super popular, but I was not bullied. And I never thought so, but I have no problem like hanging out with others. But then I didn't feel like eager to hang out with others. But then I just do a normal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And where the best friend later become, because nobody wanted to hang out with her and she was living very close with me. So we were neighbors. So became like I kind of protect her. I remember one time when we were like getting out of the school and a few boys were verbally bullying her. So they keep
okay.
saying that she has smells, whatever. This is a whole class thought. That's why that special event was kind of weird. You know, all of a sudden people wanted to hang out with her for that specific time. And later on they forgot about it and I become the normal one as well. And then she was still constantly being bullied and isolated. And so that time when the few boys were verbally bullied her, and I got mad. And then we right got out of the school, I had a physical fight with the main boy who just bullied her. And actually, like, fight, because I was, you know, we were both like 9-year-old, 10-year-old kids, so we weren't like as this like huge difference between our physical strength. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like feel like, oh my god, this, you know, like it's not like I'm gonna win, but then I still had a fight. And then later on we got pulled by our teachers or institutors, like, hey, like, you should have not done this. And I remember that teacher taught me. She was like, you are a girl, so how can you do that? But then the boy got kind of blamed more. Mm. So that is the thing. But this is the personality, right? Like, I have this personality. So in this case, I am being a more helpful or playing that role. But on the other situation, like I mentioned before, it's just the same mindset. It's the same person. That's why she didn't like blame me at all. She came to me and tell what other people said. But then that's why I just got confused. And as a kid, you wouldn't think, oh, you still the same person, but in different kind of situation, you should behave in different kind of ways.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what I'm saying. It's like, this is why I actually don't feel that. And for me to have public speaking, to sell an idea, if I do believe it, and I would act more of like the promotion focused mindset. And then when I did the research and talked to more people, understanding that a lot of people are having this prevention focused mindset is because of their childhood memory or experiences or the society, the social backlash, where this social evaluation is kind of dismatching with what we trying to adopt from the traditional, let's say, negotiation strategy, mm-hmm. or selling strategy, where like, oh my god, I'm just so great. And then for females, we kind of get punished by using that. And then this shaped our mindset to be more preventional mindset or preventional talking style. So this is the mechanism or reason behind it. It's really not because we are less good, or it's not because we're less capable, or because we are more shy or introverted. That's why we have this preventional mindset. It's actually a deeper mechanism and reason, from the historical reason, from the societal reason, and those things came back to us, mm-hmm. and subconsciously shaped our mindset and then reflect into our talking style and negotiating style. So that is really the reason. And but we cannot change the whole society's perspective in a short period of time.
Yeah.
So do you have any idea, like, how would you deal with that, or how, if you thought about it before I share about something that I thought it would be helpful?
Yeah, I mean, you touched on it a bit, like just unlearning things that were kind of ingrained in you from childhood.
Yeah.
And I do think, yeah, as a kid, like, I was sort of told, not told, but like it was, you know, just like in an environment where I, like, especially like in a school scenario where, mm-hmm. I felt like I couldn't like properly express myself without like being made fun of or something like that. And I think that sort of reverberates and echoes. And if you don't address that, and in a lot of ways, I don't think I did address that until like later into adulthood,
mm-hmm.
like, you're going to want to be guarded and have this sort of like protectionist mindset of like, oh, I don't want to like stir the pot. I don't want to ask for too much because, you know, like, what if I should be grateful that I'm even here? I think that's another thing, is that like some people get to a certain position and they don't want to ask for any more than they have because they're like, okay, well, this is all I deserve.
Mm.
And that's a whole other can of worms, just the concept of like what you deserve versus what you don't, like, I think is silly, you know? Like, I don't know if anyone deserves anything. I think you just should advocate for what you want to advocate for. But yeah, I think the one of the biggest things that's always helped me is just faking it till I make it. So like, being in the most uncomfortable, awkward situation that I like, that literally makes me feel like I'm going to throw up,
yeah.
and still just doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Because like, there is, you know, assuming I don't throw up, there is an end point, and
yeah.
Like, it will all be fine at the end.
Yeah.
Like, one of my favorite interviews was like one that I did with someone that I like tracked down for a really long time, like an artist who hadn't put out an album in like 30 years,
mm-hmm.
and like finally got to like sit down with her and do an interview, and I was so unbelievably nervous for it.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like when I listened back to the interview, I could tell, I was like, I sound nervous,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think this is my best interview, but I think it's my favorite thing I've ever done,
mm-hmm.
because it's the thing that made me like the most. Like, I was so nervous going into it compared to,
yeah.
like, anything else, and I still did it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think, like, proving to yourself that, like, you can do those things and that the end result will be okay, but
yeah.
you'll be okay,
yeah.
I think is, yeah, is really valuable.
Yeah, that sounds great, and I definitely feel like it helps with some kind of anxiety-driven procrastination,
mm.
which I have a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Like,
yeah.
having that, like, preventative mindset, like, also means that you're going to put things off as well.
Yeah.
And end up, yeah.
yeah.
Oh, man. When I was a university student, the amount of essays that I would wait far too long to write and then write them and then submit them like 2 minutes before the deadline.
Duh. Everybody does that, I feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I caught, what I have. I noticed myself consciously now, thank God, is that I have this procrastination, which is anxiety driven. Like, the more anxious you are,
mm-hmm.
and you have this fear, and then the more you turn to avoid it and procrastinate it. So after you sharing this, I wanted to share two specific tactics,
mm-hmm.
to kind of help with this kind of backlash for, let's say, females, or if you think you are not considered the majority people who would be rewarded by the assertive behavior. The first, of course, is all about, like, negotiation is all about having alternatives, and you can talk, you have another choice. So this is not something like very special, but I would say just contact so many people,
mm.
like just create so many options. If I'm trying to reach out to a potential client, I would reach out to 20, 50, 100 people, and there's a percentage. So you always do this, right? Like, then you wouldn't feel as nervous when you actually have some backup plan or something you fall back to. But we need to practice it. So I would say quantity over quality, right? In the first, you don't have to make sure that overly prepared to be perfect in this specific interview, but you get yourself so many interviews or so many opportunities to talk, even this is irrelevant, maybe like public speaking or something, and each time when you have to go, you will automatically improve a little bit and get more comfortable. And once you hit something, you probably like the bottom, the most, like the least acceptable or wanted offer, and then you can go higher, and then your attitude change. When your attitude change, people will wonder why he is so confident about what he said, why she is so confident about what she said, but not being aggressive or pushy, right? Then they will kind of feel like they must have something. You must have something that you actually, and then you start to prepare because you kind of go on there. And this is one thing, and we can talk about that more. And the second thing is more about during the negotiation, during the conversation. For us, we can reframe what we say. Instead of say, I want this, I deserve this, blah, blah, blah. Because we would feel uncomfortable if we don't think that way, firstly. And secondly, if we do think that way, but we normally get backlash from basically the penalties or public punishment from others because of this social evaluation thing, then we reframe this to advocate for the team, for the groups, for others. Like, I am a mom, I'm doing this because I want to do something for my kids, for my family. I'm a manager for this thing, blah, 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 is because I wanted to do for my group. This sounds very simple, but then it fits the image of what they think women should be supportive. And then they feel like all of a sudden you fall into that supportive role. And when this time you act more assertive and even more ambitious to gain this resource, but they will feel like, oh, you're doing all this to support the team or to do that for the organization. They actually feel better because this is subconscious and hard to change in the short time. So that could be a little trick for us to always say, hey, I really do this because I want to say JSF to be better. I'm just kidding. But yeah,
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. So like, yeah, I mean, the advice that... Like you said, like you can't, like us having this conversation and talking to people, like that's not going to change the way society functions and the way society treats the actions of women compared to men.
Yeah.
But like what you're trying to say is that like there are ways that you can still like advocate for yourself.
Yeah.
That can help you get to where you want to be in spite of all that.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Because for me, I feel like I'm more practical. I think... getting that resource, getting that opportunity, and then later you can act like whatever, right? Like, that's better. Instead of, like, blaming ourselves or do more reflection of, am I being too assertive? Am I being too aggressive? Instead of that, still having that attitude, but then strategically change of what you say, how you communicate. Like, you can still have that attitude. That makes you drive forward because the promotion-focused mindset drive us to take action. Taking action and execute, put ourselves there is very important. But you can say, oh, I actually advocate for us. I do this because...
Yeah.
And then you get what you want. Or most likely, at least you don't have to deal with that backlash. But then, which means most likely or more attitude... percentage-wise, that you have better opportunity to get positive feedback. That positive feedback is so important for us to continue doing that cycle and getting to the upward loop, right? And then having that. So, yeah, first of all, using all those strategies, understanding the mechanism, and then use all those strategies to get yourself the positive feedback while maintaining the mindset. And then you can talk more about being humble, whatever, later.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Yeah, that's all the time we have for today. And a huge thanks to Daniel to be the co-host for today's show. And a special shout out to our lovely staff here at CJSF for making this broadcast possible. And stay tuned. Jacob's show is coming up next. And this is CJSF 90.1 FM on Burnaby Mountain. I'm Charlotte, and I will see you next week. Get old.